Today on Real Radio.
The reason why this is the greatest verse in the Bible is because, number one, right here is the answer to so many questions people have. This is the reason why we worship out of a true or willing heart. Verse 7. That in the ages to come, think, if God knew in his mind that Adam and Eve were going to sin, he did know, you know, then why did he go through with the deal? Verse 7.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through the New Testament book of Ephesians. We're in a mini-series called From Death to Life. The first few verses of the second chapter mention some of our benefits in Christ now that we have believed. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, continuing in his mini-series called From Death to Life.
When we were not even asking for forgiveness, Christ died for us. That alone is one of the most incredible thoughts, that while we were so far from him, he died for us. Amazing. He forgives. He's gracious. He's so gentle. In John 5:24, the scripture says, Jesus says, most assuredly I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who has sent me has, past tense, everlasting life. 1 John 3:14 says, we know that we have passed from death to life. Do you? Because we love the brethren. Do you? Do I? You want to be with them? Help them, serve them, do for them? It's a mark of a believer. Holy Spirit does that kind of work. How can that be? How can that happen? Because God's gracious in our lives. He's forgiven us. He's been gentle, kind. And so the Lord works it out in us. Mankind tonight, by the way, is divided into two groups. And they're right here in this scripture. Those of us who are alive, been resurrected from the dead, and those who are still dead, the Bible says, in their sins. And that's a tragic thing. God will forgive all sin, but he will not forgive the sin of rejecting Jesus Christ, the offer of salvation. He won't do it. There's no second chance after death. You know that. He will not forgive the sin of rejecting Christ and somebody dying in that condition, rejecting him. All manner of sin, Jesus said, shall be forgiven except blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. Shall not be forgiven in this world, he said, or in the world to come. So you don't want to die without receiving Christ first. He says here in verse 6, listen to this, note this, that we're seated with Christ, and I warn you about how I view this verse up front now. My view of this is a little different. Verse 6, he says, he's raised us up together. First of all, together means Jew and Gentile alike. So you're going to want to mark that down. That's kind of neat. He's raised us up together. Wait a minute. Did we need raising up? Yeah, we did. We were dead. He's raised us up together and made us to sit together in the heavenlies, literally, in Christ Jesus. What does it mean to be seated with Christ? Does it mean you walk in and you take a seat that's been arranged for you? No, it doesn't mean that. Does it mean that you're drug in and put on a seat by force? Doesn't mean that. This is what it means. First of all, to be seated with Christ, it means to be placed on a seat by invitation. That's something that the Holy Spirit does. But note this, he's raised us up, that's from the world, from our death, what we were born into. Secondly, he sat us down. That's being at rest. We're sitting down now, people. Listen to this. Jesus is sitting down in heaven. We're running around trying to catch up. shouldn't be. Jesus is sitting down in heaven. His work is done. We're supposed to be sitting with Him. And here's the part I warn you about. I don't see myself sitting next to Him. I've read commentaries, lots of them. It will tell you that we're seated on thrones. I have no problem with that. It's theologically correct. As Christ is. That's what it means, that we're sitting with Him. That's okay. Okay, that's fine. That's fine. I don't... You know what? When I read about mercy, and when I read about all this stuff, and I read about what He's done for me, I'm going to get off my seat. And I'm going to go over there and jump on His lap. And that's where I see myself. When I see Jesus seated in the heavens, I see this kid sitting on His lap. Because there's no other place I'd rather be. Yeah, this is the way it ought to be. You know, I've been trying to lose weight and been exercising and go to this health club, and it's really funny. You know, the mirrors everywhere, right? They got these mirrors. It's really great. I think they're kind of like twisted mirrors, make you look a little bit bigger. It's like in the weight room part, they make it look bigger so you look more buffy, you know. But in the other part, they bend the mirrors so that you look thinner, so you keep coming back. I don't know what the deal is. It's kind of weird. But, you know, people are in there and they're like, looking. It's really funny. But you know, you can, and it's, guys, you know what I'm talking about? It's kind of this weird thing. You know, guys get into a health club or even on like a football field or a baseball diamond. There's this thing that's inside of us. It's really sick where it's like, I'm a guy. And you see guys who are really prone to this stuff. And they're like, chest sticking out, you know, and they kind of walk a little different. They don't walk like that at the store. You see them at Alpha Beta. They don't walk like that. But in the spa, you know, they're like, and it's like, this is great. This is just something. And it's really funny because, you know, men are men. And here I'm thinking, you know, we're sitting there and, you know, working out or whatever, you know, and there's always some animal in there where he's got veins and muscles coming out of his ears, and it's like, yeah, look at that guy. And I'm thinking, Paul said in 1 Timothy 4 somewhere that physical exercise profits a little, but godly exercise is, you know, where it's at. I'm going to have a shirt made up, by the way, that says that, and walk in there, you know. And it's funny because, you know, you're looking around. It's like, oh, you got kind of like, what time is that? 8 o'clock. It's kind of weird. It's weird for me because I'm sitting there, I'm standing there, whatever I'm doing there. And I'm thinking, you know, I'm sitting on the lap of Jesus Christ right now. I'm in this knucklehead place. But I'm seated in God's lap at this minute. It's kind of a weird thing. Don't you feel like sometimes you're like a secret agent from heaven like that? They don't even have a clue that you're seated in the heavens. Wow, that's a mind blower to me. I like that. I think we're sitting right on His lap in the heavens. And this is a positional thing. You understand that? Of course we're sitting here talking right now. But according to God, we're in there. Am I going to make it? You're asking me? I know. Not even to ask you if you're going to make it. Have you put your trust in Christ? Yes, you're going to make it. Can I be sure? Ask Him. Look at His Word. The Scripture says, if our hearts condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knows all things. Isn't that an incredible verse? Are you trusting in Jesus? Yes. You're going to make it. You're going to make it. Amazing thing. We could go on all night about this. We won't. But it's such a precious thing. Another thing we want to realize in verse 6 is that there's special recognition given both here and now. The believer is positioned with Jesus in heaven, yes, at rest, absolutely. But also the believer shares in the finished work of Christ because he is officially now at rest. We are at Bible study tonight to strengthen our faith. Show us how to walk so we can go back out into the world and be effective people. Why? Because it's all been done. We are so saved and so secure in Christ that we're in here right now doing our workout so we can go out there and be strong in front of a world that needs what we've got. I've been questioned about the involvement that we're going to have in this thing on Sunday where the kids that were killed in the accident, some of their friends, I guess, they're not Christians. They're getting together with their rock bands, and they want to have a benefit concert. I guess they're going to generate money to help with one of the families, from what I've been told. And I thought that was a pretty neat thing. That's neat that they'll do that. Well, the city contacts us and asks if we would have a Christian representation, a Christian witness to this. So some people, some Christians, wanted me to tell them, no, we won't have anything to do with it. Why? There's non-Christian bands involved. You know what? We ought to just seal up the doors and order pizza and stand here for the rest of our lives. I'm not going to do that. Last time I saw Jesus in the Gospels, he goes to where the sin's at. He goes to where people need it. The world's not going to come in here. We need to go to them. Jesus said, go into all the world, build a church, just get some people in, shut the doors down, don't let anybody else in. He said, go out into all the world and preach the gospel to them. But the believer has a special place, both here and now, here and, of course, there in heaven as well. He, that is Jesus, sat down, he sits now, and he is seated. And I love that. You know, there's only one time when God gets up from his throne when he is not seated, and it's found in Acts chapter 7. There's only one place, and that's when a believer dies. Did you know that? When a believer dies, Jesus gets off the throne. Stephen was preaching the gospel, and they start throwing rocks at him, and he's about ready to die, and he looks up, and he sees Jesus up off his throne, looking over, maybe over a cloud. And I'm sorry for this, if this offends you. But Stephen says, behold, I see the Son, one like the Son of Man, standing at the right hand of the glory of God. And he's making this verbal announcement about what he's seeing, and they kill him. And he says to them, remember, Father, Lord, forgive them. And Jesus gets up off the throne for one thing, and that is to receive you into the kingdom. Come on, Stephen, you come on up here. Come on up here. Puts him on his lap, sets him down. How you doing? It's the only time you see Jesus standing up after he's in heaven is to greet somebody who's dying. In this case, of course, it's Stephen. I like that. I don't want to talk to Peter. I don't want to know Peter guarding. Is he going to let me know Peter guarding the gates? You ever heard about the thing? Peter. Forget that. I'm going to be crying out to Jesus, man. Jesus, yes, come on up. You see Peter or somebody else. I don't want to see those guys. I want to see Jesus' face. I'm getting nervous. See somebody else there, Like, wait a minute. What is this? What kind of a deal is this? Verse 7, we'll wrap this up. He says here, verse 7, and by the way, listen, I know some of you laughed when I said this is the greatest chapter in the Bible. You want to hear something? I mean this. This is the greatest verse in the Bible. This is the greatest verse in the Bible. Watch this. That in the ages to come, the word ages is eons. Eons. The successive running of eternity without end. There is nothing bigger. Forever. Tonight, 24 hours from today, 9 o'clock tomorrow, 24 hours from now, we will have traveled over 2 million miles through space. Listen, our solar system is spinning about. Our solar system is in a universe that's spinning around. You got the moon going around the earth. You got the earth, right? The moon's going around the earth. You got the earth going around the sun. You got the sun spinning on its in its cluster. You've got clusters of clusters spinning around. Take it all, put it on the back of a flatbed truck, and drive it through the blackness of space 24 hours from now, 2 million miles down the road, and God, and you still don't hit the end. And God says, I measure that out in the span of my hand, from my pinky to my thumb. I measure the expanse of eternity that way. Isn't that awesome? That's fun stuff to think about. Eons. Verse 7 says that in the ages, the eons to come, for all successive eons, millions upon billions of years, of course they don't exist there, but forever running, never to end, that in the ages to come, He, God, might display the riches? No. It's a superlative. Exceeding riches of what? Of His grace. If mercy is not getting what you deserve, grace is getting so much. Getting what you never deserved. Mercy is not getting what you deserve. God's, you're thinking you need a spanking. God doesn't give you a spanking. He holds that back. Grace is, you don't deserve this, Jack, but I am going to spend eternity showering you with my grace. Listen, I hope this blesses you as much as it blessed me. You are an object of God's attention and love. You are an object of His kindness and grace. You, whoever you are. Whoever you are individually, He is nuts. He has absolutely picked you out to shower you with His grace. And you, well, I don't know, you know, things aren't going that good for me. Just wait. You're not at home yet. He is going to bless. Watch this. The greatest verse in all the Bible. How can that be true? That in the ages to come, He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. Get a load of this. The reason why this is the greatest verse in the Bible is because, number one, right here is the answer to so many questions people have. This is the reason why we worship out of a true or willing heart. Verse 7. That in the ages to come, think, if God knew in His mind that Adam and Eve were going to sin, He did know, you know, then why did He go through with the deal? Verse 7. He knew that they were going to sin before they were ever created. But God went through with the deal because He was looking at the end of the race. I'll go ahead. They're going to exercise their will to disobey me, and the fruit of that's going to be years of pain. However, there will be an offering made for them. Those in the past will look toward Christ. Those in the future will look back at Christ. I'll make a redemption for them for their blunder. But I tell you what, that very blunder that pulled them down and destroyed their lives, I will resurrect them and redeem them so much. I will save them so big and be so much loving to them that in the ages of all eternity, successive running, I will show all the created universe my kindness and goodness toward them who believe in me. Well, if God's loving, how can a 6-year-old and an 8-year-old beat a 4-month-old or 4-week-old almost to death? He is sick over it. He hates it. That happened the other day because of man's deprivation. That is hell on earth. And in God's wisdom, in the end, He'll make it right. You and I cannot fathom it ever being right. You and I cannot fathom God. I can't fathom being forgiven. You can't fathom God. You've got to believe Him that you've been forgiven. And you are so important to Him that you will receive all the attention for all eternity that God has to give. He's going to bless you. We're the object of His attention. Exceeding riches, this is a great word. Exceeding riches. The word is hooperballo. Doesn't that sound like a great word? Hooperballo. Ballo must be something. Hooperballo must be real big something. That's a great word. The word means to go beyond all others, to surpass all before it, to excel past them all, to boldly go where no man has ever gone before. It means beyond all that. Think about it, it's beyond it. Is that amazing? Gosh, man, we leave here today thinking, oh, I don't know what God thinks about me. Then you've been sleeping. His goodness. The other, it was about 9 o'clock. Stepped outside, and I don't know where you were last night about 9 o'clock, but the sky was still a little twilight, just in the horizon. Little, almost the most amazing color blue. And the temperature was probably about 73, 74. Did you feel it? And I went and got Ashley. I said, you got to come out here. So we came out there and we laid on the car and looked up at the stars and just felt the air. The wind, the breeze was blowing. It was, for me, it was perfect. It couldn't have gotten any better. It was just perfect. I had shorts on. She had a bathing suit on. And we're laying out there. It was just perfect. Just perfect. And Jesus said, in my Father's house are many mansions, and if it were not so, I would have told you. But I go now to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you may be also. Okay? In 1 Corinthians, the scripture says, Paul says, eye has not seen, nor ear has heard, nor has it entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them who love him. Last night, to me, last night was perfect. Well, that's because there was not a war going on in my neighborhood. There wasn't a riot. We didn't have to flee for our lives. We weren't putting out fires. It was just right. But there's a place where we're going that is more than real, and it is beyond some night where the temperature is right and the stars are right and it feels right. No matter what this world can show us and produce for us, it's not it. Eye has not seen, neither has it entered into the heart of man, what God has prepared for them who love Him. Are you excited about this thing? I can't wait.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. In a presentation taken from Paul's letter to the Ephesians, and in fact it's a mini-series called From Death to Life, a look at the first part of chapter 2. Now, of course, our goal here at Real Radio is to equip you as a believer with greater scriptural understanding. And so we're making available Pastor Jack's audio CD set, The Life and Times of Jesus Christ. It's quite the in-depth examination of history's most influential figure. The Life and Times of Jesus Christ on audio CD is yours when you make a contribution to the ongoing work of Real Radio of any amount. Whether you call, click, or write, just ask for The Life and Times of Jesus Christ. Visit us at realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org. Our telephone number is toll-free, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. Or you can send your gift to Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. And of course, all of this contact information can always be found at realradioactive.org. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.